Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 101, part 2, Where is the Kingdom of God? Today is Sunday, June 7th, 2009. Thank you for joining us today. The month of June, the most beautiful month in the year. Absolutely gorgeous in Minnesota. Come to Minnesota. Well, you don't have to come to Minnesota to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Koresh Synagogue, located at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to visit us online, too, at www.pastorpaul.org. Did I say that right? Let me say it again. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to help support our urban mission operations. We need your support, so help us out. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, our store, where you can purchase our supplement, Protandem. Everybody should be taking Protandem. Twitter and YouTube. So be sure to go online, www.pastorpaul.org, and check out and join our online community. Also, when you go to the blog, you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. At the blog, you're going to find interactive links to the scriptures that are within Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to go there. Be sure to visit me at Hearts of Fire, the Janine Sherry podcast, coming soon. So thank you for joining me, and be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's message. There are two parts. The first part is on Friday evening. The second part is on Sunday. So have a great month, and we'll see you back here. God bless you.
So we start to talk about our new life and about how we start to grow in our new... Don't we show everything now when the little one starts to walk? You want everybody... Took three steps today. You can do the same thing in your own spiritual life. You'll be so excited as you pay attention to the new life that's on the inside. Guess what? I took three steps towards Jesus today. Maybe no one will really be interested, and some will. But you're excited about that new baby on the inside, that new seed, that incorruptible seed that's growing. And all the old habits drop off this little baby. Pretty soon you don't have to change the diaper. Isn't that a good habit to get rid of? Lord, that's neat. And it's the same way in your spiritual, beautiful, brand new, incorruptible seed that grows as you nourish and you feed it. The baby won't grow and it won't do anything until you feed it. Until you teach it with the Word. Until you give that baby direction, it won't know what to do. Because there's a lot of direction out there in the world to do this and don't do that and be popular and come on over here. Those folks are crazy. I got to thinking about it one time. You get to praising the Lord and jumping up and down and having fun and God, and people think you're crazy. Then you go on down and you have to get them out of prison. Lord, I've been in prison, been through there. 80-90% of them people are in there for crimes of passion because they were out drinking or had drugs or something like that. And who's crazy? They're standing behind the bars. Now, doesn't that look crazy? Hasn't the devil made a monkey out of us when we're like that? And so if ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ is crazy, let me be crazy. Because the ministry you get in the world is certainly crazy. Right now, they're doing everything to stop people from drinking. Take someone along with you that won't drink. And that person they take along with them will end up hating them all. Maybe he'll stay sober the rest of his life when he sees how terrible that we act when we're under the influence. How many are hearing this? The more we nurture and the more we feed the incorruptible seed on the inside, the more pride we're going to have in God for bringing this up and saying, Lord, I'm moving in the things of your spiritual. I'm growing up into the knowledge and the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ with your love. You love that little baby. That little baby grows. Several tests have been taken around the world on what happens to babies when they're not given any love. And even in France, terrible thing that they did. They had babies in there. They left them with no love, no attention. Just stuff a bottle in their mouth and leave them. They all died. It's the same way we, when we're spiritually born again, need the love of God. We need the direction of God and we need the counsel of the Father. Without it, we are hopelessly and helplessly lost. And we sort of get down and our spiritual life dies and pretty soon we're all down. We'll go here and there looking for a word from someone to cheer us up. No, you got to go to God. You can be counseled. I counsel people over and over and over again. They're cheered up for a minute, and they walk out, and their face just drops. They have to go. I can't eat for people. I can't eat for them. Say, here's a nice, great, big mulligan stew for you. And you get down here, and there's some hobos sitting down there, or there's some street people sitting, or wherever we're at, down below the bridges or wherever, and say, well, you don't look like you got enough strength to eat. Here, let me have that for you. I'll eat for you. Just sit over. You relax. There you go. Feel better? Great. And it's the same way you cannot eat the Word of God for other people. They have to be partakers of the divine nature themselves. And you can tell when they are because they start to beam. They start to beam and the old self dies. The things they used to love, they hate. The things they hated, now they love. And there's a change, and there's a growing up, and there's a knowing Jesus. It doesn't come by reading a whole lot of books. It's got to come from the Holy Ghost. It's got to come from the Word of God. It can't even lots of times come from the preaching, but the preaching can give you direction. And if God wants to, He can anoint it by the power of the Holy Ghost, and it can speak to you if you're willing to listen. People who are saved by grace, then sometimes they come under the law. Well, they keep falling, and so then someone tells, well, you know what? You're not strict enough with yourself. Now you're going to do better. You're going to buckle down, win sake, buckle down. You're going to get better because you're going to put restrictions on yourself. You know what you need to do right away before you fall all the way down? You need to plea bargain for grace to come back into your death. And give you life back again. Sometime back, I told a story. I think I'll tell it again this morning. It's a story about a young man that's on a train and a minister. The story runs along this way, and the young man says, Minister, as I was a boy, I ran away from home. I hated my folks, and I ended up in jail. I've been gone for some 7 years, and a few weeks back I wrote a letter to my dad, and I said, Dad, I'm coming home. I never received an answer. And so I wrote to my mother, and I said, Mother, I'm coming home, and I'm not going to wait for an answer. I'll be on a train, and if you want me to come back, I'll hang a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. When the train comes around the corner there, I'll see it. When the train goes by, if the ribbon isn't on the tree, I'll understand and I'll just keep right on going. The boy then, he closed his eyes and he waited. He repented at every whistle stop. The conductor yelled out, he says, "Train arriving at Booze Valley." The old tempter was right there. "No," said the young man, "I'm not getting off till I find out, devil." Then the conductor yelled out again, "Next stop, Pretty Legs, Pretty Petticoat Junction." "No, devil, I'm going on. I'm going home. I got to find out if I'm accepted in the Beloved." By now, the whole train was expecting. You know why? Because there was someone on that train, a preacher, preaching the glorious kingdom of God. And everyone was listening, and he preached so loud and so long, they were all expecting it. And his in-closing messages were longer than most preachers' whole message was. But anyway, there wasn't a dry eye in the whole of the train. The train called, "Going home. Going home, oh, I'm going home. Woo!" But the devil, he was still trying. Train arriving at Gambler's Junction, just around the bend. "No, devil, I'm not stopping. I'm not going to stop for nothing. I'm not gambling on anything. I'm going home. I want to find out." And back on the train there was the engineer and the old fireman. They were bumping into each other, throwing logs on the fire. They were excited. They had the heart of God. That was moving them. And they were singing, "Oh, it's a hallelujah train. It's a hallelujah train." Whew. Back up front, the old conductor yells out once again, "Old Oak Tree Junction! Coming up just around the bend. Woo! Woo, woo, woo!" But the son, he couldn't look. "I don't deserve anything," he says in his own heart. "I'm a sinner," he says in his own heart. He says, "Jesus, come in and give me peace. Still my heart right now. It's beating. I think it's going to come right out of my chest." Now the preacher yells out, "Son, look at that old oak tree out there. It's covered with yellow ribbons. And there's two old people out there. And they got yellow ribbons wrapped around every finger and around their necks and their heads. And they're jumping maybe 6 and 7 feet up in the air. I mean, these people are serious. And there's an old dog out there. And he's got ribbons all over, jumping around in a circle and up in the air. Let's call him Old Yeller." So they stopped the train. Off they went. The mother and the father and the son, the prodigal son that had returned, jumping down the road, the little dog barking and jumping in the circle. They were singing, "We're off to seek the kingdom, the wonderful kingdom of God, hallelujah." Well, anyway, tradition has it that all those people that saw the grace of God and the love of God through this great experience here, through a preacher and a young man that wanted to repent, and a preacher that had the kingdom of God within him and preached in such a wild way that the engineer and the conductor and all the people got so excited about the Lord. The kingdom of God was among them. They said, "We want to have that in us." And they all rode that glory train right down into the old Grace Valley there. It said that they all got born again down there. You know why? Because someone wasn't afraid to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think something like this awaits all who have left God or who were never ever saved. A welcome so pure and so forgiving and so free and so simple and so loving. And all we have to do is ask, and all we have to do after we ask, and God says certainly, then we receive, we respond by receiving. So that Jesus can come in, glory to God. We start to renounce, we start to restore, and we start to receive. We renounce at the heart of our new life. There's a place where we have to say no to the devil every stop he yells out. Stop here, stop the train. No, I'm riding the glory train. I don't want to stop. It's hard sometimes, but his grace, the Bible says, is sufficient. When you say no to the devil, God backs you up all the way. no to deadness. No to all these things that hinder you in your walk. No to the devil when he says you cannot be born again because you're too evil. Say, no, I know the grace of God. I heard him on the train. I see him walking out there. I know. And so restore. As you go over your lives, you may have to tell someone you're sorry. You may have to pay back some money. You make a clean weep sweep. You make a clean sweep and you weep as you sweep. And then you receive. And here is a simple act of faith, receiving. God honors it every time. You listening out there, if you don't have Jesus as your personal Savior, you're sitting in here today. I'm not talking about going to church, being a good Methodist like I was, or a good Lutheran. Or I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Read, it's in your Bible. But you have a simple act of receiving, and God honors it. God, I believe you can do this. And you ask him for help. And God wants to forgive you. God wants to love you just like you want to love your children. The Bible says the word is near you, in your heart and in your mouth, the word we preach. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. God put the word in your mouth. And God put the word in your heart. Are you hearing this word? Maybe you think I'm some kind of a weirdo standing up here. I'm giving you gospel. I'll tell you right now, when people start to preach the gospel, people think they are nuts. I am giving you the pure word of God. It's a simple message. If the Bible says, if you will say it with your mouth, and pride will only keep people from receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If you'll say it with your mouth, and I put that word right in your mouth. God said it. I'm not saying it. I'm giving you a Bible. If you'll say what I've already put in your mouth and I've already put in your heart, if you'll say it, I'll save you. If you'll humble yourself enough to say, yes, I'm a sinner, I need Jesus in my life, I will save you. Now, preacher, if you're listening to me right now, you don't preach like that, you're faulty. The Bible says when God sees you up there, it's going to say, woe to you, preacher, you didn't preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a fear of God. I have a fear of not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I fear no man, but I fear my God. And God says, preacher, you better preach it or you'll be found faulty on that last day. And all Bible prophecy right now is coming to pass. The book of Revelations, mark it down, is coming to pass. And 300 and 400 top scientists around the world are agreeing that, yes, the Bible is 100% true. Mark it down. Right now, the Battle of Armageddon is right around the corner. Right around the corner. Someone that's upset with their wife can push the wrong button right now. While we're sitting here right now, there's missiles flying around. You're only told 1/100th of the different dangers that we're facing right now in this world. Are you hearing this? I think it's time that we start to realize that there is a God. Don't get your eyes on the preacher. He's some kind of a nut. Sure, I'm excited about my new life. Just like you're excited about your kids. You say, here's baby. Well, you look nuts to other people too. Say amen. The fact remains is, if we don't preach this and we don't live this, it isn't part of us. You have to acknowledge, Jesus said, follow me. And you got people in the right relationship. So many people in this world right now need a right relationship with their mother, a right relationship with their father, a right relationship with their brothers and their sisters and their uncles and their cousins. And the only time they meet them is at a funeral or a wedding. That's why I always preach the glorious gospel at every funeral. They are ripe for the gospel of Jesus Christ. At every wedding, you must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because people are ready for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm ready for the gospel of Jesus Christ every day. I need the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my life. The Bible says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And we've got to form brand new relationships. Treat one another with the same spirit as you have experienced in Christ Jesus. I have to treat you the same way that I've experienced in Christ Jesus. A lot of times I discipline people because God has always disciplined me. I treat them in the same spirit and with the same respect. Are you hearing this today? God, I hope you're hearing it. We've got to start to refill and replenish daily with spiritual food and eat away and give away and eat away and have a quiet time with God. And I'll close with this psalm. Psalm 1 and 1 through 3. The first verse goes like this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I thought, oh, here we have, and I had to notice the different characteristics in the conduct here. The ungodly man has his own counsel. When I had my own counsel in the world, I ended up in boys' schools. I wasn't listening to my parents. I ended up in jail. I ended up in Skid Row. I ended up a total alcoholic because I listened to my own counsel. Are you listening to your own counsel today? That's dangerous. The sinner has his way. You got to have your way. Sometimes you're even sitting in church, you got to have your own way. You got to have, not only do you have to have your own way, you have to influence others. All that goes on in churches all the time. That just irritates me. I'll tell you one thing. It irritates me when you're at these big revivals and you'll see someone that has to have their own way and they're contradicting the message all the way through the message. Don't you know that you are scornful? And I'll get to that. The sinner has his way, and it says the scorner has his seat. Do you want to sit in that seat? It says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know what a scornful person is? It's a person that's got a scorn on his face. Well, when are we going to get done? When's my wife going to turn off this radio? I am so sick of listening to that radio program, I could scream. And he's scornful, you know. I don't want to sit in that man's seat. I don't want to pick up the same spirit that he just left there. And then it goes on, the ungodly man is not concerned about God. He's not concerned. Will you shut up? I don't want to hear no more of this. And you know, sometimes I have to relate that to myself in some degree. So when you preach to the unsaved, a lot of times you preach to yourself. And why does that happen? Because we're not experiencing the kingdom of God. We're not lifting up that little baby in there, that baby Jesus, and say, here's my Jesus. And it's just a part that you know. You start lifting up Jesus, even the little Jesus in you and the bigger Jesus in you. And as you grow in Jesus, the life I now live, I live in faith, for it's no longer I that live, but Christ in me. But neither is he zealous for the salvation of others. Here's a person that could care less about getting saved. I don't want to hear it. Maybe you're a homosexual listening to me on the radio and you don't want to hear this. You know why you don't want to hear it? Because you are so miserable. What you need to know, homosexual, is that God loves you. Totally. And that you can lay down all that scornfulness and all that misery and all that woe. And I'm giving you the way out. The kingdom of God wants you. Now, you've seen them posters where Uncle Sam wants you. Well, the Holy Spirit wants you. Just like you are, without a plea, without an argument, without walking around being ungodly and claiming to be that way. Whew. Oh, and he then counsels and advises those whom he converses to adopt his plan. Ooh. There are so many that get out there and they want people to adopt their plan. Now you watch these talk shows and they'll have an evangelist get on and now they'll make all kinds of fun of the evangelists. Evangelists are not all perfect, okay? Do you all agree with that? No, there's no one perfect. And they'll start to nitpick on these people. And they'll start to talk about this thing. And they'll get somebody in the audience that gets all upset and they're going to fight for God and get into vain discussion about it. If I was there and they asked my opinion, I'd say, the kingdom of God is among you. If you don't receive Jesus, you'll simply go to hell. Case closed. I don't have to argue with you about God. God is. Now, you just take a look out there. Now, how do you think that your hands are moving and your mouth is flapping, fella? It's because God has given you grace, and you can even talk like this, like you're talking right now, and God gives you grace to even speak. How do you think that you were conceived? God knew you, formed you in the mother's womb. He knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. But I wouldn't get into their arguing whether God is. He is. Even when you're in the natural, when you're a little kid, don't you? Oh, you wait. I'm going to tell my dad. My dad's tougher than your dad. You wait. Huh? And you go running to your dad. That's all I have to say. I say, my dad's tougher than your dad. You wait and see. He'll be coming home pretty soon, too. How will you know when he's coming home? He rings the doorbell. It's a big trumpet. It's going to come. But going on, the sinner has a particular way of transgressing. One is a drunk, another was a drug addict, another one has some kind of an unclean habit, and some have them all. And it says, now blessed is he who stands not in such a man's way. And the scorner said, who needs all this? I don't want to hear no more about it. My God, I just want out of here. I want to turn this flap mouth off. Well, flap jaws, God loves you. Put that in your book. Sit in your scornful seat and chew on that one. But verse 2 then. But he will delight in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. He delights to do the will of God. His dependence is on God. He meditates, it says, on God, on his law, day and night. Now, men who meditate sometimes can be dangerous. Depends on what they're eating on, what they're feeding on. Do you ever see someone feeding on the wrong thing? They look like they got a gut ache. Or they're all nervous and twitchy, can't sit still. It's all on what we meditate on. If you're meditating on the things of God, you're going to have a perfect peace that passes all understanding. You're going to be filled with the presence of the Lord, because it says the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Verse 3, and this is it. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringing forth his fruit in season, his leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. A tree planted by the rivers of waters, not one wild one that's grown there, but one that has been taken out of a place and put into a place where there are rivers of waters and cultivated and pruned. And it says his fruit in season. And I asked the Lord about that. And he says the fruit in season is a tree that will bear fruit whenever that it's needed. Oh, glory to God. The in season, out of season, when it's handy and when it isn't handy. There aren't certain times when we're just fruitful. We're fruitful in season, out of season, when it's handy and when it isn't handy. We're always fruitful. We're always in season. It doesn't say in some season. It says in season. It doesn't say seasons. It says season. Period. Wherever it's needed and whenever it's needed, it's not a certain season. His leaf shall not wither, and your leaf will never wither. Never. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. And oh, I asked God, and I said, God, what does this mean? You know what he told me? He says, I am certainly like I have had you to minister in all this time. I'm not talking about a carnal prosperity. I am not interested in gold and silver and all those things. But an inward secret. Oh, glory to God. That inward baby that grows into the image of God. Jesus Christ is the image of the Father. And Christ in you, like that little baby that was baptized today, if you will nurture and you will feed it, and it is planted by the rivers of water, it'll never wither, and it'll always bear fruit, and it'll always be in season. And God says, I'll cause it to prosper. So the prospering is a growing up into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fruit prospers from the inside so others can have it. The apple prospers from the seed on the inside, and it grows from that Adam that's on the inside. And it's the same way with us. And you peel that old flesh off and that old bark off and you eat. And one fine day, glory to God, that incorruptible seed, this body, shall be peeled off and fall away and become dust. And behold, the fruit that came from the seed, the incorruptible seed, the Lord Jesus Christ planted in you. How much more should we strive to do God's work and read our Bibles and die to self and say, Lord, cause me to prosper and to grow and to become ripe. So that I can be released from the flesh to the spirit. So I can be released from being an introvert to being an extrovert in God. So that I can have the gestation, the seed, the birth, the growth, and finally, Lord, the flowering. Praise the Lord. If you're sitting in here today, or you're listening to this tape, and this tape will go up. We're going back into Africa again. This tape will be going into Africa and Norway and Sweden. We're going to start sending them all over again. Some 750 of these tapes that I'm ministering right here today will be going to the different churches that we know in Africa. And I just pray that you listening to this tape will know the message that you must receive the incorruptible seed. You must confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and thou will be saved. Then that seed will go in, and that seed will flourish, and it will grow. It'll be watered by the Word. Glory to God. It'll be cultivated by the Holy Spirit. It'll be nurtured by the Word of God. You got to know that. And if you're sitting in here today, maybe you even don't, you know, you can't relate with me and say, no, or maybe you're listening on this radio and say, this guy is a total nut. Well, that's all right. I was a total nut before I came to know Jesus Christ. People used to laugh about, isn't he a nut? Well, I'm some other kind of a nut now. Say amen, somebody. The Bible says be a fool. And if you're going to be a fool for Christ's sake. Is there anyone in here today that hasn't received Jesus as their personal Savior? And don't put it off. Don't let pride hinder you. It takes you 30 seconds to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. And like I said, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Is just right around the corner. You can make all the plans you want. God says, don't stand here looking up. Get busy and get to work. I don't want you to die of a heart attack waiting for me. But I'll tell you right now, the hour is on us. Even in the natural, man can see that there isn't a whole lot of time left. Even in our own natural, we can see that. I mean, plan all you want to, but it isn't going to do a whole lot of good. I mean, as far as, you know, overriding God's plans, God's going to have his own way. If you're sitting in here today and you aren't born again, get born again. Get on the glory train. Return to sender. Return back home. Anyone in here, honey, are you born again? All right. Is there anyone here that doesn't know for sure if they're born again? I'm not talking about catechisms or isms or any of that. I'm talking about, it says, you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. The Bible says, you must be born again. Unless you are born again, it says, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Honey, are you born again? Okay. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but I don't want the Lord to say woe to me when I get to heaven. Would you like that? Praise the Lord. Are we all born again in here? Are you born again? Born again. Are you born again back here? You know what? Would you mind praying with me to make sure of that? Would you? Why don't we pray here today? You might not ever see me again. Maybe I might drop dead. Let's pray with your family here. Just pray after me. Will you bow your heads and pray and say, Dear Lord Jesus. Pray right after me, folks. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Can you pray that? Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And baptize me now, Jesus, in God's Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a simple gospel message. So simple. Someone else? Way up in front, somebody? Right there. Just repeat after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. Now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom and knowledge, peace, joy, and love. And Lord, a new language to praise your holy name. Praise God, I am saved and filled with God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. See, that word was near you, in your mouth and in your heart, the word we preach. And it says, how will he know unless a preacher is sent? Well, I was sent. I was sent here to the north side. And nothing is by accident. I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was in a church in California, and I walked out and I said, you know what? I was not ready for that. I came back and I started preaching. I've been preaching ever since. I was not ready for that. The Word of God is very, very clear. That's all we have to do. All you had to do was, in the falling of Adam, was one word. You said yes to the devil. And you only have to do it with one word, coming to Jesus. You say yes to Jesus and no to the devil. You just turn the tables. It is not a complicated, go to Bible college for 15 years type of thing. It's a simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Simple, 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 simple. It's that once God has you, he'll never leave you, never forsake you. There is no way that you can leave the kingdom of God. You might try to get away, but the only thing can happen to you after you receive Jesus with your mouth is you're going to get more miserable. You cannot leave the kingdom of God once you belong to him. That's like kicking one of your own kids out. They can be the meanest rascals in all the world. They can be sitting in an electric chair, and the mother will run up and say, that's my son, there's so much good in him, and he's killed 15 people. That's the same way God feels about you. He will never forsake you, and he will never leave you. No, never, it says in the original Greek, no, never, no, never, no, never. And when God says it 3 or 4 times, don't that mean a whole lot? So if you're